And so we're studying the essentials of the Christian life. And today we're going to be back on the subject of prayer again. Because this is such an important part of the Christian life. And the Lord put it on my heart as I was preparing this series to teach something that I haven't taught in several years. Those of you that might have heard me teach on this before, I'm sure that it's foggy at the very least. But I want to teach this morning on how to spend an hour with God. And really, you could say an hour is just a number, but really, what I'm really teaching about is how to spend time with God. And I'm going to share some principles with you that give a little bit of a biblical perspective on how to spend meaningful time with God. Now, several years ago, God impressed on my heart to go to a pastor's conference at the Falls Baptist Church in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. I had met Pastor Wayne Van Gelderen at a different pastor's conference, and my heart was so touched by the moments I was able to spend with him. I knew he was a man who knew God, and he was a man that I could learn from. So I went all the way out to Wisconsin to this conference, and God did several things when I was there in my heart as a pastor that are still impacting my life today. One of the things that I saw there was the small groups that they had. And it was based on what the Lord taught me through that visit that I came back to Lighthouse and said that we were going to transition from a Sunday school model to a small group model. And the Lord has used that immensely through the years here. But personally, the thing that I learned at that visit more than anything else was how to spend what they called the hour with God. And they challenged, during this conference, everyone to start spending this time with God. And I came home, and Emily and I began the journey of doing this. And it hasn't stayed exactly the same how it was from when we started out. But the principles that we learned from this continue to impact my life, her life. And I believe it could be impactful to your life if you'd be willing to hear the principles that we're going to talk about today. Now, most believers live very shallow lives spiritually. There's no real depth to the relationship that they have with the Lord. They pray the same old prayer every day, and the time with God becomes more of a daily ritual than it does a vital relationship of communing with God and connecting with God and having that freshness to it. I think all of us, if you've spent any time trying to walk with the Lord, can relate to that time becoming stagnated. And sometimes the temptation is for it to become apathetic. And these principles are so helpful to keep it fresh in your relationship with the Lord. Now, it's hard for me to put into words what God did in my life through learning the truth that I'm about to teach you. But all I can say is before I learned these principles, I did not really have the relationship with God that I should. But after I learned these principles, it has completely revitalized my relationship with the Lord. And now that was probably 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm thankful for it. I'm just trying to lay weight to the fact that these principles, if you really take them to heart, can be transformational to your life. And here's the challenge I want to give you today. I want to challenge you to commit to spend an hour with God every day. Now, it may not be an exact hour. Let's not get legalistic about it and say, well, I'm going to time this out, and right when the hour hits, I'm done. All right? It's not about the hour. It's about having an elongated time with God, sincere time with God every day. And that's the challenge that I wanted to give to you. But I will say this, I do want to challenge you at least once to set aside an hour and put these principles into practice. And so for the next little while here, I want you to think about that challenge. And we're going to give 10 biblical steps to guide you in spending time with the Lord. Here's the first one If you want to just chart these down on those notes I handed you as we go through, the first point, you can write down worship and praise. You take the first several minutes, 3 minutes, I think is what I have on your notes there, for worship and praise. Now, Psalm chapter 95, and verse number 6, it says, "O come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Psalm 100 and verse 4, some of you memorized this psalm when you were young. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what?
Praise."
Praise. "Into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." As you begin the hour with God, you ought to begin with taking time to worship and praise God. Now, there is a difference. Worship is valuing or treasuring of God above all things. That's what worship is. It's valuing or treasuring God above all things. I like to put it that worship is me giving from everything that I have, exalting or valuing or treasuring God for everything that he is. It's me exalting God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. That's worship. Praise is a little different. Praise is the joyful recounting of all God has done. You're praising God for something that he's done. And it's important to know there's a difference between worship and praise. When we worship, we take time to exalt God for who he is. And when we praise, we are taking time to exalt God for what he's done. So again, worship is about exalting God for who he is. Praise, exalting God for what he's done. Many times we get stuck on only praise. Thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you, God, for doing that. But it's very expanding of your relationship with the Lord to begin to learn to worship him, not because he's done anything, just because of who he is. And both of them are vital. And so you're supposed to take the first several minutes just to worship the Lord. Now, that list I just passed out to you has just name after name after name about some of the attributes of God. And I think all of us can think of things God has done for us. Praise oftentimes comes easy to our lips, but sometimes it's helpful just to have a list to help guide our worship. God, I want to just take some time to exalt you because you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord who is my provider. And just being able to have a list like that with you to guide you in your time of worship. Because I don't know about you, but I like to pray in the morning. And sometimes I wake up in the morning, and let's be honest, it's not all spiritual going through my head. I'm just trying to wake up a lot of times. And it's helpful to have a list like that to help remind me something about God that I can worship him for. The point is, as you begin the hour, take several minutes to just worship and praise God. Which leads us to the second thing, and that is waiting on God. Waiting on God. Take several minutes just to wait on God. Now write this reference down. I'm sure you know it, but it's Psalm chapter number 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Can you say that out loud with me? Be still and know that I am God. As Americans in this society, we do not like silence. We like the TV to be on. We like for music to be playing. We like for something always to be going on. And it seems like we're used to having background noise for everything that we do. Waiting is time for you to just simply stop, be quiet in your soul, tune out the distractions of the world, and listen to God. Get your heart attuned with God. That's what waiting on God is all about. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us." And this waiting is that time where you're just recognizing God. And you're getting your heart aligned with God. Now, I've talked about this with some people, and they think, "Well, that sounds really mystical. That sounds really odd." Well, it shouldn't be odd to us, but it is. Because it's uncommon for us in this culture especially to take quiet time, not to read, not to think about anything, but just to focus on God and let him communicate to our souls. If you've never done it, I'm telling you, take the challenge of the hour. It'll change your life. Wait on God. Jesus told us to do this in Matthew 6 and verse 10 in the Lord's Prayer, when he told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What was he doing? He was challenging us to get our hearts attuned to God's heart. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what this waiting time is all about. That's number two, waiting on God. Number three, repentance of sin. Repentance of sin. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. We talked about this last week when we came to the subject of prayer. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we learned that from the very beginning, Adam and Eve had a walk with God in the garden. But one day God came down and Adam and Eve didn't want to walk with him. Why? Sin. Sin always severs our desire to enjoy our relationship with God. In fact, positionally, sin severs our ability to have a relationship with God if we are not saved. You cannot talk to God. You cannot have a relationship with God if you are not saved. But even after we're saved, if we are living or have known sin in our life, it keeps us from even wanting to have communion with God. And so anything that keeps you from spending time with God, we learned last week, is sinful. And that's significant for us to understand. Now, it's also significant to understand this. From a positional standpoint, your sin was fully and finally dealt with on the cross of Calvary. And that's what Hebrews chapter 10 tells us about. So you guys over there in Hebrews 10? Hebrews 10 and verse number 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified or set apart to God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." How many times?
Once
for all. Once for all. He died once for all sin. And our sin has been forever dealt with through that once for all sacrifice. Verse 14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." And so from a positional standpoint, we know that our sins have fully and finally been dealt with through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sin. But from a practical standpoint, you and I both know we still daily struggle with sin. That sin, though it is forgiven in the eyes of God, when we do sin, it still impacts our relationship with our Lord. And so there's a daily need for us to search our hearts and make sure there's not anything that has come between our Lord and us. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will what?
Draw nigh
to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." God doesn't want us to be double-minded. And that's a significant thing. As we draw nigh to God, it should make us reflect, is there anything between my Lord and I in our relationship? And as you begin to evaluate your own heart in prayer, it moves you to a place where if God convicts your heart of any sin, you need to repent. Now, a lot of times we stop at confession, but confession's not enough. In fact, confession is only a part of repentance. Confession means to agree with God. And the age-old verse people like to use is 1 John 1:9, a great verse. But understand something. Repentance is what God desires. See, confession means you agree with God about your sin. Repentance goes a step beyond that. It's not just agreeing with God that what I've done is wrong. It's agreeing with God that what I've done is wrong and I don't need to do it anymore, and it's turning back to the Lord. That's what repentance is. And if God convicts your heart of something as you come to Him in prayer, you ought to spend some time letting God search your heart and reveal any area of your life that you need to get right before God. And I encourage believers to claim the forgiveness that God has given you. Because He has bought and paid for your forgiveness. But boy, we need to be reminded of that in our daily relationship with the Lord. You know what? Whenever I do something to hurt my wife, you know what I like to say? Those three very difficult words. I am sorry. And that's what we got to do with our relationship with the Lord too. It's all about relationship at that point. In your daily time with the Lord, you ought to have some time for repentance. Now, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, write that down. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I almost pray this every day. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We're asking God to search us, show us, is there anything not right in my heart, and having a willingness to get it right before Him. Just take a few minutes to let God search your heart. All right? Here's the next one. Number four, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Now, take a couple minutes to put your spiritual armor on, is what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual warfare. I don't have time to go there, but I know that many of you are familiar with it. I want you to write it down. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus gave us a model for prayer in Matthew chapter number 6, He told us to pray every time we pray and deliver us from evil. We need daily protection for the spiritual battle that is taking place in our life. And I like to think of putting on your spiritual armor as putting on different parts of Jesus Christ. We're putting on His righteousness. We're putting on His truth. We're putting on the salvation and the new mindset He's given us through our salvation. We're putting on the gospel that brings us peace in our life. All of these things are things that daily we need to be reminded of and equipped with to be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And listen, if you've never taken time to do spiritual warfare, if you've never taken time to pray on your spiritual armor, that's something that you ought to be doing every single day. And it doesn't take long to do. But boy, the acknowledgement of it and daily admitting, God, I'm not enough and I need your protection and I need this spiritual strength that only you can give to me is an important admission for all of us to make. So take some time to do some spiritual warfare. Here's number five, claiming promises. Claiming promises. Take a couple minutes to claim some promises. Let's take our Bibles and go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll look down at verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. This is what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Whereby, talking about in God's word, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. The Bible tells us how important it is for us to claim the promises of God. It is by the promises of God that we are enabled to be partakers of this divine nature that God has given to us. And I want you to think about this practically with me. What is a promise that God gives you in His Word that you could claim? Any promise. What's one that you like? A promise from God. What's that?
Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Absolutely. All right? A lot of people like Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, Herbert Lockyer, he put together all the promises of the Bible. And he put together thousands and thousands of promises included in that book that he put together. And he ended it, his work, and he said, I don't even think I've scratched the surface of the promises that are there. There are all kinds of, this is what I like to do. Every time I find a new promise, I like to write it down. And then I like to go back when I'm taking time to claim promises and look through that list of promises and find one that I need for that day and claim it before God. God keeps His word. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Yes?
How about Hebrews 4:16?
Yes. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And that's a great one. But I challenge you to start making your own list of promises that you can claim before God. I'm going to tell you something. There are some days I need those promises. I need to be able to stand before God and say a promise before the Lord. And there's just something about taking a few minutes to claim promises before God that does something good for your soul. Now we got to move on. Let's go on to the next one. Number six, intercession and petition. Intercession and petition. I'll say it one more time because those are big words. Intercession and petition. We will not be grading you on spelling. Don't worry. Intercession and petition. There's a difference between the two of them. The point is, at this point in your prayer, now you're finally taking time to do what most people, this is all the kind of praying that they do. Pray for the specific needs in your life and the needs in other people's lives. Now next to that, you might write Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, where the Bible tells us a very familiar verse. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God tells us to let our requests be made known unto Him. Now, I've heard some people teach through the years, pray for others first and then pray for yourself. But here's what I've learned. I cannot be anything for anybody else until I get the help that I need. That's not selfish. That's just facts. I need to pray for wisdom and strength from the Lord for myself first before I have any strength to be able to help anybody else. So when I start my time in prayer, I do start with asking God for the help that I need. And then, after I take some time to pray personally for myself, the Lord will enable me to be the person that God's called me to be. Then I can turn around and take some time to pray for the needs of other people. And the Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 16 that you're to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Bible tells us we're supposed to pray for each other. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25, "Brethren, pray for us." He asked people to pray for him, and we ought to pray for each other. By the way, one of the things I found to be very helpful when it comes to that is keeping a prayer list. Have you ever had a prayer list before? Some people don't like prayer lists. They say it makes it more ritualistic when you pray. Here's why I like to have a list. Whenever I go and talk to somebody, I always have a list. Why? Because I want to remember the things that I said I was going to talk to them about. Whenever I come before the King of Kings, I've got my list. Because I want to make sure I remember the things I said I was going to talk to him about. Especially if I tell somebody, like I did several times this morning, "I'll pray for you." I'm writing that down. Because I told them I'd pray for them. And I'm going to make sure that I do. You understand? I like keeping a prayer list. It helps me remember. We have a church prayer list we give out every week to update requests that people are asking this church family to pray for them about. I wonder, have you ever prayed through that prayer list? That's an important thing for us to do as a church. And it takes a mature believer to do it. This time for intercession and petition is time for you to pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your extended family, pray for your friends, pray for your church family, pray for the lost. Well, there's so many needs. You won't get them all covered every day. I don't pray through the whole prayer list every day. I usually pray for a part of it on Sunday, a part of it on Monday, a part of it on Tuesday, a part of it on Wednesday. But I do want to take some time to pray every week for the things that I know God has placed on my heart or other people have asked me to pray for them about. And so you're taking about 10 minutes for intercession and petitions. Here's the next thing. Number 7, thanksgiving. After you've taken some time to ask God for help with some things, it's appropriate to take some time right after that to thank God for answered prayer. To thank God for the blessings that He's given you in your life. Psalm 92 and verse number 1, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." And you ought to take some time to thank God specifically for some things that He's been doing in your life. It's good to praise God generally or thank God for general things. It's also a wonderful thing to be able to thank God for specific things that you've been seeing Him do in your life. And some people I've known like this idea through the years. Oftentimes, I've tried to write down at least 3 things that I'm thankful for. And just a little practical thing that you could use in that time. And some days you think, oh, there's so many things to be thankful for. But some days, it's a challenge. Because we have a tendency to be not thankful. It takes some time to be intentionally thankful for the things God's blessed you with. All right? Here's the eighth step in this hour with the Lord, and that is Bible meditation. Bible meditation. Psalm 119 and verse 15. It says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." When it comes to spending this hour with God, this is a time for you to maybe have your daily Bible reading. Maybe have a devotional book that you read through and then just take some time to think about what it is that you read. Take 10 to 15 minutes just to read the scripture with an open heart and let God speak to you. We've already taught on that recently, but that's where you put that time here in this time that you're spending with the Lord. Number nine, two words essentially could be the same thing. Listening is the first one I want you to write down. Listening. And the second one is journaling. Listening and or journaling. That's the same. Two blanks there for number nine. Listening and journaling. At this point in your time with the Lord, you're taking some time to let God show you, let God teach you. You've just read the Bible. Now, instead of reading it, closing it, and thinking, I have no idea what I just read. Right? Because that's what we do sometimes. It's intentionally taking some quiet time to say, no, what did God have for me in that? And for me, because of the personality God's given me, I can express myself better in writing than just about any other way. I love the journal. And so oftentimes when God speaks to me, I'll write down what it is that God's speaking to me about. And it may look a little bit different for you, but the point is you're not just reading for the sake of information, but you're reading for the sake of application. What does God have for me from this for my life today? That's what this time is supposed to be meant for, taking with the Lord. You might write down a Psalm 111 and verse 2 for this right here. The Bible says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out or pondered or meditated on of all them that have pleasure therein. And so the idea there is that we're taking time to think about the works of the Lord and the truth that we're learning from His Word. Which leads to the last one, and that is praise and or singing. Praise or singing. You begin the prayer with praise. Now you're ending that time with God again in praise. I love to sing. Y'all been around here long enough, you know I love to sing. I'll just start singing for no apparent reason. My kids are the same way. Because they are the unfortunate recipients of living in my home and hearing Dad sing all the time and Mom sing. We love to sing. I love to sing to God. Many years, I've taken a hymn book right with my Bible, and I've just gone through line upon line and sang that hymn for the day. That was my hymn for the day, a song to have on my heart as I go throughout the day. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I love to sing doctrinally rich songs. I also love the spiritual songs that sometimes they don't have a whole lot of doctrinal depth to them, but it's just a love song to the Lord. I like it all. And there's not a right or wrong way to do this, but boy, I love to end that time. After you spend an hour with God, let me tell you something. Even if you can't sing, you won't have a problem wanting to sing. And even if it is just a joyful noise to the Lord, okay? And you may go sing on a hill far away for somebody else's sake, but you ought to do it anyways. Because I'm telling you, when you really do what we're talking about and you spend an hour with God, you will not have a problem wanting to take a few moments at the end to praise the Lord. Now, what I've just described to you might be foreign to some of you. It might be very familiar to others. But my challenge to you is, any of you know these truths? Have you gotten out of the habit of practicing them? Or perhaps in your own personal time with the Lord, you'll be able to take some of these truths and bring some freshness and vitality to the time you spend with the Lord. I believe it'll change your life. And the reason I believe that is because it changed mine. I'm telling you, you genuinely take an hour with God, it'll change your life. And I hope that many of you will take the challenge, whether or not you actually do a full hour or not, take the challenge to spend the time with the Lord. I'll just quote the words of the beloved hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, as I close. It says, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Boy, if you get in the daily practice of having that hour, that time with God, I can't describe to you the difference it'll make in your life. You've just got to experience it. And take my word for it, it'll change everything. So I hope you guys will take that challenge today.